Channel One Right, the beginning of Channel One Right. This is the beginning of Channel One Right. This is the beginning of Channel One Right, the beginning of Channel One Right. I'm setting it up for I don't know what. I'm just setting it up. I'm just setting it up. Just setting it up in case I get caught. It's Channel One Right. Channel One Right, a new reel. Gene comes in and talks with Faye at the kitchen table. I said, Gene, talk about family. See how it sounds. But she was more interested in other things. And then they walked down and to the clear down to the millet and visited Molly and the new foal. I just let them in with the cows. This is Channel One Right. This Sunday, the 21st of June, 1970. Sunday, the 21st of June, 1970. Late in the afternoon, drought in the rainy season. Gene came out by herself. This Channel One Right on a new reel. Channel One Right on a new reel. Gene and Faye at the kitchen table.
Well, Missy got Clay. Missy got reaction to her smallpox shot.
Oh dear!
And she got terribly homesick. It was hot. She was having a good time, but she ran a little temperature, and every night she would get homesick. And she got to where she had enough temperature that she couldn't eat. And it was just hot. And it was, I thought. You know, and Dinah Marie had said, now, just let me know. It's better if they can.
It's much better when a child has a feeling to go home, they go home. You know, I mean, and temperature will do it. I mean, for no reason at all, if a child has temperature, they're going to feel.
Let me give you some good cool water. How about a little?
I just got up from supper, honey. I've been trying to get out here, but I've been trying to get out all week, but the painters haven't finished, and the carpenter hasn't finished, and the car isn't in shape, and my sister's coming this week, you know, and I'm trying to get things, you know, I would like to have things in shape. They're not going to be, and I've decided I'm not going to worry about it. But still, the car hasn't been acting properly. And Jay's been out of town, and Walter tried to get somebody else to
work on it. He's coming back tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
22nd, I think.
Is that right? Well, good. I had a feeling it was the 20th.
You better keep these for Robbie now, since my children are not here. I'd just love to have them. You better keep them for your own.
Well, you
family.
Keep them on, make sure.
No.
But, well, I'm sorry I didn't get to see the children.
It was all so sudden because there was a picnic plan yesterday there. They were going to picnic and they were going to swim. And today the cookies were coming and they were building a hut. And Missy just couldn't, she couldn't eat Friday night. And she said, you know, there comes a time when you get lonely for your own house.
And that's it.
And I just called on. He said, I'll be down there in the morning. So he came down at 9:30, got here at 9:30, and he had to hurry right back because it was storming over Atlanta. And he had to get back before that thing hit at 2 o'clock. So they were back in Nashville by 12:30.
Just like that.
And it almost took my breath away because I can't believe it, you know. They were here and then they just suddenly.
And all of a sudden.
All these little sounds. And they're not here.
But I hadn't been here since you put that in there. I mean, I hadn't really looked. You know, I was here last time. Was it Saturday or Sunday? Was it Saturday?
Well, you put the refrigerator there and we put a door there.
There.
And we moved the hot water heater. So the whole thing is a lot. You know,
more space.
Now your sister's coming. And with her family?
Yes, the whole kit and caboodle. Her husband and 3 children. And that's Kathy, 15, Robbie, 10, and John's 4. And then
how you want my house?
No.
It's open, you know. I mean,
well, I have the cottage.
Yeah.
And I'll put the father, mother Kate and Bob downstairs, and John, and then Kathy and Robbie can sleep upstairs in the cottage, you see.
And you got it cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're better off.
And
tonight.
Then Lenten's coming, of course, on the 1st, or just after the 1st.
Okay.
He's free on the 1st. And my sister's going to Carl Gables to visit one of Bob's aunts. Here's a red bird, and reminds me, before I left to go away on this junket, there was a red bird knocking at the front window and one at the porch window. And when I got back, they were still knocking. And I just feel so sad that those stupid red birds are still batting themselves up against my windows.
Oh.
4 weeks.
And they think it's somebody else, another bird.
Either that or they think it's a tree, the reflection
mm-hmm.
of the leaves in the window.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that sad?
Yeah, it is.
There are females, too, in each case.
Have you got a place to sort and hang?
No, I don't. I put some out, and then it melted and all ran down and made a mess, and the ants. Of course, I live on a gigantic anthill, and they just all flooded in to enjoy the melted fat. And I thought, no. And then, of course, you know, Penny Sajovic next door has 3 or 4 cats.
Oh, yeah.
And they're lying around, and they climb up all over everything. So I haven't done anything to them. I kept a seed feeder for them until all these cats are out. But I just don't think I can stand to see cats chasing birds.
Jean, what should I know about anything that's going on in town? Do you keep up with the civic things anymore?
Well, I'm afraid Paxton's pretty sick.
Yes.
He married Dempsey and Dina last weekend, sitting up in his chair.
Oh, he did?
But we dropped by later in the week because I had a little gift for Dempsey and Dina. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to use this as an excuse to drop by. And I haven't seen him since... January.
Uh-huh.
We were in a couple times in January, just when he was going into the hospital for that operation
yeah.
to connect up his arm. And then, you know, we've talked about going in, and, you know, sometimes he likes to see people. So, Sunday we asked Molly. She said, well, he's still here. We married him this afternoon. And then this week, when we dropped him with the gift, and Walt said, how's Saxton feeling?
Uh-huh.
And she made no suggestion that we go back to see him at all. Now, of course, it could have been it was a bad day. Dempsey and Dina had come back just that day. I don't know what it was, Thursday, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to give her my little gift. I really didn't know what other address I could have gotten,
yeah.
my mother's address, but I thought, well, this is the quickest thing to do, and I'm doing things the quickest way I can these days. Charlie showed up yesterday, bless his heart, and there was a little colored boy who was supposed to come help. You know, those painters left such a mess.
What are you having done?
Well, they painted the kitchen,
oh,
they painted the floor
yeah.
and
yeah.
the garage, and they were supposed to paint the outside of the house, but they didn't open the windows, many of them. Some that didn't, some that didn't. And how they managed to get so much dirt in the house, I'll never know. I really cleaned that house this fall, and there's a layer of white dust over everything, on the curtains, everything.
Jean.
And I really haven't, when I first got back, I didn't feel like doing that kind of cleaning.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to coast a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So...
Well, now it's too hot to do that kind of thing.
Well, of course, I have the air conditioner
yeah.
on, but we finally discovered we had to give the air conditioners a very thorough cleaning. They were just glutted with dust.
Uh-huh.
The filters were all jammed up,
uh-huh.
and I just know they've been pretty nearly choked out with this. Have some. I'll take some home to Robbie if you don't want to eat them, but...
Well, I think it's a shame to have children's cookies and leave them.
Well, I think it's a shame to have children's cookies and not have children, but
well,
after
too,
all,
but
we're...
Well, you're taking them to Robbie.
Well,
now, what
we'll do something.
Are you going to bring them out, I hope?
Oh, well, I'll give you a chance to rest up. There. Now, I think the thing is, I just like cookies a little brown. So I always get them a little browner than they need be. Well, they're going to Coral Gables Wednesday. They're coming Saturday night, and they're going down there Wednesday. And so we won't have much time on this little junket. We'll see. We're going to go down to Silver Springs or Rainbow Springs or something on Tuesday. And you know they've been clearing hyacinths out of Lake Alice.
Yeah.
That was in the paper. And we went over to see, drove by, and there were four big alligators swimming around like cruisers.
Mm-hmm.
And John just thinks he has to see an alligator.
And
where would I have been able to put my finger on an alligator before now? And there they are, just
right
big.
There at Lake Alice. Mm-hmm.
So John will be camping on the edge of Lake Alice. He won't have anything else. Mm-hmm. So, when I was with my sister, she gave me two big boxes of clothes of John's for Margie. And I just packed one up and sent it to Margie from Philadelphia. And then the others I just put in with my luggage and took up to her when I went this time. And when I packed up the stuff for my sister, I said, well, here's a size 4. John wears size 4. Robbie's 3. And my sister took a look at it. She says, you can't imagine John wearing that, can you? And it was a cute white play suit, sunsuit, with brown and blue, two shades of blue stripes, white, brown, two shades of blue, a very nice sophisticated sunsuit with double, with the buttons here, you know, strap and two buttons, so make it fit a little. And she said, you can't imagine John wearing that. Well, I thought this was so funny. That little angel face John, and my sister thinking that he's such a he-man at 4 years of age that he can't possibly wear a sunsuit. Well, I go to see Tom, and Tom's got the same notions.
He's not going to wear that thing.
Well, we didn't make this an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I told this story to Margie, and I saw her kind of look without really saying anything. And then it came out. Tom thinks the only thing to wear for a boy are blue jeans and a red shirt and tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we dressed him with his company coming. The only way you can get anything else on him is to put short pants on him in the hottest weather. It's just like, you know, I think maybe this isn't the time when it might seem right to wear basketball pants.
I see.
Well, we got him dressed up in a beautiful pair of light blue pants and blue and white shirts. He walked right out and sat down in the mud puddle.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry about that, he says. And
put on
we
my
just
jeans.
Knew he
was. Yeah.
So we weren't going to let him beat us out. So we were hunting all over the place for something that would be in between, and we got something on him. Margie was trying to nurse the baby, and she handed me something, and I put him on, and she almost doubled up laughing. Says he's outgrown those, but he's got 4 red shirts. So his mama, you're like this. His mama says, Tom, what you expect we better do for your father for Father's Day? Well, now what would you suppose a 3-year-old would come back? Oh, I don't know. Let's all just cuddle up.
So,
we think he's a true Herbert.
Well, my auntie likes his overalls, and that's what he wears most of.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes down here, he puts on those overalls without a shirt.
Well, my auntie is a dear little boy, but he seems like a giant after being around Tom and John.
Yeah.
Of course, Robbie. Wait till you see Robbie. Robbie's just he's big round as this. Robbie's been putting on weight recently. He was sick though a few weeks ago and lost 8 pounds. Kevin says I'm afraid of getting it back. But both Kate and Robbie have picked up weight. I think probably it's just before Robbie gets a spurt of adolescent growth.
Mm-hmm.
but he's never been a chubby child, but he certainly isn't at the moment. And then with his big, luxuriant, dark hair, hair, long hair, you know, it comes down about here. He's up here some stuff. But he is more Linton's temperament. He's just been studying all the books, all the maps. He got to see Dismal Swamp. What do you suppose a 10-year-old boy who's never been south thinks Dismal Swamp alone?
Well, we'll hope for better weather.
Oh, yes, my sister says, do pray for cooler
it's
weather.
Just not much fun when you've got it so hot.
Mm-hmm. And you see, they have no air conditioning in their car. And they've got this long, hot trip.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come out from lunch and get into that hot car, it's going to kill them all. Bob won't even think to park it in the shade.
Mom just said it took, we've talked about this before, and when you come to Florida, it takes a few days to get used to Florida weather. Because, of course, their idea is to play outside.
Mm-hmm.
And mine, too. And you have to get used to it. You just do.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get used to it, and as he says, and get used to the ranch, after you have to close all the gates, you remember to do all these things, he said, your mind gets tired because you remember so much. No, never. But then he's just about the time he gets used to it, and as he was complaining the other day when he told his daddy he didn't care to go, he wanted to stay. His daddy said, well, he didn't want to have to make another trip back for him. So he felt cheated. He said he's just getting used to thinking now.
His mind gets tired.
His mind gets tired, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, he takes things so seriously when the Hellstrom boys, too, the two youngest boys came out, and Miles took it so seriously to show them around.
Mm-hmm.
Show them how to ride and show them how to look, explore in the swamp. And he was tired when it was over. It was hard work.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Really is. Well, I hope you haven't had a chance to hear how Missy is since she's back.
Oh, her worst day was Friday. It's
mm-hmm.
just that every evening she was you know, it was just 2 weeks or something like a week. 10 days is about long
mm-hmm.
for her. Miles said he was brave. He stayed over three weeks when he was six.
Mm-hmm.
But and she could have stayed. It's just that I just mm-hmm. didn't think he was smart.
I don't think so. You remember how little Faye was about
mm-hmm.
being home?
Mm-hmm.
They have no feeling.
You have to be brave. There's no
mm-hmm.
pressure to.
No.
And stay.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt guilty, you know. She felt
mm-hmm.
she loved us too. We had all of that.
Oh, then.
Well, I haven't been in town this last week, so I.
Well, I don't know. What do I know? Oh, we've got a new director of Christian education at the church, Sherman, who has a little tiny dark haired Peruvian wife. And they have two little baby girls. Oh, Frieda Martin's in town.
Oh, really?
Remember Frieda?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's living in Columbia. And I had written to a friend of mine there, South Carolina, that and told her that Frieda was there. And this friend of mine went to see her. And I remember when we came back from the war, Linton was 3 or 4 years old, and we went over to call on the Sherrills, and we walked back home. He said, "My, the Sherrills are nice people, aren't they? Pleasant people, aren't they?" So we have always been very fond of them. And George died 5-6 years ago, and Lois is alone, and she's one of these very warm, friendly people like Frieda.
Mm-hmm.
And Frieda's thinking of joining the church that we belonged to when we were there. That would be nice. It's a very friendly church.
We had a visit with Nick's mother and daddy, Phil,
did they come
and Teresa,
out?
And Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And It was a frustrating day, she said, for her.
She phoned.
She called you, I believe.
Isn't that awful to come all the way up here and then have the doctor go to
she
my
She said it had happened before.
The second time. I'd send him a bill.
I think I
Bill
would.
Is a professional man. He can't spend a day.
I think I would. The doctor would send him one.
Why, he certainly would. I just don't think there's any excuse for this.
Teresa's interesting to me. She said it seemed a little queer she wasn't going with him, but she'd just be a handicap because she'd get bronchitis.
She's the strangest person.
She is.
Just between the two of us that I have ever known.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Now, I've not said this ever before, but just between the two of us. I always have to prepare myself for Teresa.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. She was raised by her father.
Yeah.
Her mother died in childbirth with a younger sister who was, they were Catholic, who was born, it was maybe Teresa was 18 months of age. And her father was very much older than she was.
Mm-hmm.
An old man, really, when she was born.
Yeah.
And he must have been 60 when she was born. That's not an old man. But, you know, to start off
sure.
with a small baby
family, yeah.
and to be completely responsible for a little girl at 18 months of age and raise her with no other children, no other person in the house.
Oh.
You see. And to me, I mean, the way I explain Teresa is she just never got some messages that inevitably mothers get across to girls
mm-hmm.
about ways to do things. She's so incredibly blunt.
Uh-huh.
It's just a very
Well, this is the most I've ever seen her,
mm-hmm.
except for that time that you and I and you know without when Nick
mm-hmm.
had a and Carl on.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most I ever saw. I was
mm-hmm.
right here.
Well, Phil was a student of Walter's, and he has always thought a lot of Walter. And then Phil took the notion that since the Herberts couldn't go anywhere for vacation because of my back, we must have the key. And he always does or thinks up these things, and she falls in with it, or
yeah.
does, you know. And so you're kind of indebted to Phil, and you don't know where Teresa fits in, you know?
Oh.
You see?
Yeah.
It isn't that she does it for Phil. Phil does it.
Yeah.
And then the kind of subtleties and tact and little diplomacies that almost invariably you find, you just don't catch with Teresa. She's just very outspoken and direct, and the thing that was probably the most awkward moment, and it's hard to believe. I mean, it's hard to describe the thing. We were coming up from Miami when we were on that SAMLA trip that we saw
yeah.
them. And you know how people are on SAMLA. People are glad to see each other. And we came up through by Rockledge with Tommy Ruth in the car and Walter. And Tommy Ruth and somebody else. I think the other one was a woman, too. We were driving by their house, and we stopped on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil wasn't home. And Teresa was playing tennis with three friends. And she never even walked off the court to say hello to us. You know, we walked up, and she said, "Oh, hello, Phil's not home." And here I'm standing with Tommy Ruth. I mean, you know, we weren't going to drag her off that court and make her quit her game of tennis or come in and stay for a weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, any other woman you ever know was somebody. I mean, if we were distant exactly, but with the fact that Phil makes over Walter.
Yeah.
And we have the key to their cottage, and they're immensely generous to us.
I know.
They really are.
Uh-huh.
But she never even walked off the court to meet Tommy Ruth.
And wasn't a match or anything like
no.
that. They were just back.
No, the court's in their backyard, honey.
Yeah, in their backyard.
The court's in their backyard, and this is the crowd that gets together almost every day. I mean, these are just friends from the neighborhood that walk over. Excuse me. Oh, no, it wasn't any match.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it was just what they do all the time. But since Phil wasn't home, she didn't suppose we would have any interest in saying hello. I mean, she's that kind of self-abasement. That's really it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And she's immensely generous and I don't know. I mean, you just don't if out there at that lake house, that's her lake house, you know, and goodness, they have all the money in the world, and she doesn't have an extra thing around.
I know.
And if I decide, you know, really, they ought to have this.
A piano, for instance.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll, but no, if I take just a pan,
mm-hmm.
A tea kettle, I think, because I had an extra tea kettle, and I didn't need it, and I could use it out there, and I'll just make this as a gift to the house. And then that's always my tea kettle, and don't you want to take your tea kettle home this time? And it isn't that she's not accepting the gift as much as it's just, you always feel it's in her way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's not something she put there.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't put anything there. I mean, this is another funny thing. She bought the house with china and stuff in it. I mean, with dishes and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, they needed some more plates.
Uh-huh.
And some cups.
Uh-huh.
And I put up curtains. She will not, I mean, you know, the curtains can fall off, and I really ought to go out and put up some more curtains for her because they will just fall down.
She thought maybe you might use the, what did she say? The yard had grown up.
Yeah.
She was sure. And she thought maybe you all might use it to clear the yard or some such thing.
Yeah. I mean, you just... Now, usually, I get out there and clear up the... I mean, for years, I cleaned the house and had the yard ready when they came.
Uh-huh.
And we did use the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is one way I can...
Yeah,
but we have been away, and I haven't had a chance to do it. So, I haven't been out.
Uh-huh. She said you
had. So, she called me to see if the pump was all right, and yet Nikki was supposed to go see about the pump.
Yeah, he was here. He surely should have got out.
But I, you know, I we were in Kentucky, and she wanted she wanted to go by the lake to see the man that works to fix the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she could have written him a note, you know.
Yeah.
And all these things, you don't know whether you're getting the signal, what the signals are, you know. Yes, you have. We've known him a long time.
I know you have.
And I always try to read the signals to be as little inconvenience to them as I can and be as helpful. And yet I cannot organize my life just to take care of situations.
No.
I mean, there gets to be a limit. And I know that Phil is very eager for us to use it. I mean, you know, she is the one that, and she is bound. I mean, she feels that she wants to do what Phil wants to do.
Yeah.
But it's always just
a
little awkward. And I just never know.
Well, I know that Nick feels more home out here than he does have any really. At least
she has a way of complaining about Nick and Phil, and you know, you've heard, probably caught that all.
Well, not from Nick, of course, because he would never say anything.
The thing is, Phil is such a naturally handsome guy. Teresa isn't.
That's right. And he's so young looking.
Yes. And all these years, I have just trembled for her status because she is so oblivious to, she has never given any inkling that she realized that he was handsome and, yes, and adept, and he is loyal. I've never seen him, by the flick of an eyelash, be anything but
what is it, Nick says, takes 1,000 years to make a gentleman?
He believes it.
Yeah.
He believes in it. And I really just can't believe that she isn't a little more somehow feminine in her. Once she did say, they were having some kind of wedding anniversary, and Phil had bought all kinds of little knickknacks for the kitchen and house and one thing and another. And she wrapped them up with amusing verses. And, of course, I commented. I was out there. The stuff all was beginning to be used. Not that she doesn't ever get anything for the house, but she's never really made it her own, you know.
Yeah.
She just doesn't move into it and say, well, I think I'll do something with this. And it could be so, you know, it's so tempting to do something
as far
as I'm concerned. And she did say, he's always so full of ideas and full of imagination and something very warm and appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
They went on a trip to someplace down off the coast of Mexico or South America. And it sounds like a wonderful trip. But when she got to wherever they were headed, it was beautiful, and she was just ready to sit. And Phil wanted to take a boat and go to this island and go to this island. And she just... he just didn't give her a chance just to sit. I mean, and it wasn't said... sweetly. I'm really talking too much about it, and I just don't...
Well,
why are you to Walter?
She said that she would just be a drawback to him. And she realized it, and she wanted him to have a good time. And she thought that Nick was going just to please his daddy. He didn't really want to go to England.
Now, isn't that...
But it's, the way she said.
Yeah, you would feel that in any other marriage, it was a symptom of breakup or a symptom of a kind of general tension or that... there was deep unhappiness here, and yet I don't feel
no,
this.
No.
It's just
Teresa.
This crust that never quite got the feminine.
Now she's the one that has the money.
I think
both have some. Both of them.
I think both have some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it. We've always gotten the impression she has these relatives. That have money, and Phil's father's still living out in.
Yes, I saw some pictures of him.
So I don't know. There's a whole lot more to this story, I guess, than I know. But um, to get so put out when they come in town to play tennis, and then they forget to pick up the laundry or do some chore that she needs to be done. And you can see, she is what I would say doesn't have a sense of humor.
Yes,
this is where
just doesn't have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Well, where does Nick get his inflexibility? Now, he's more flexible than he was.
Mm-hmm. I think probably from both of them.
Uh-huh.
Because, granted, Phil believes in being a gentleman,
mm-hmm.
but there is a degree of inflexibility
mm-hmm.
in this
mm-hmm.
faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
we've sort of worked him over from time to time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he has to be pretty flexible out here to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope he's learned a little. He likes it, evidently. He
mm-hmm.
comes and stays.
Mm-hmm.
So we just...
Well, I think it does a world of good.
Just go ahead about our own business, and he does what he does.
Be the saving of Nicky.
He seems a rather lonely young man. He's sufficient. He likes a lot of things. But once he likes you or likes a thing
mm-hmm.
like Molly or likes
mm-hmm.
a person, he's sort of tenacious.
Mm-hmm.
He holds on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, they had to see the foal.
And how is Ajax coming along?
Why, fine. He's nibbling on everything. You know, it's a little cooler out there. Jean,
why don't we walk down and see the foal?
Yeah, let's go see the foal. It's so nice and airy outside. Mm-hmm. It looks
have you had your supper? What are you?
Well, now this is around 4:40, 4:50. First time we've taped Faye and Jean. She was going to let Jean talk about her family, but Jean didn't want to. What was on her mind was getting out of gear. They walked clear down to the millet and saw Molly and the little foal. This Sunday afternoon, the drought in the rainy season, the 21st of June, 1970. This is Channel 1, right, around 4:50.
I must try it again because I really think that's... it has, you know, no cream cheese and no whipped cream and no the other things in it. And yet it has a little more sugar than many recipes. It has no flour, which my other recipe had. And then this lemon, and with the blender, you don't have to grate all that lemon. And
a cup and a half of sugar and a pound of cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And
one lemon, three eggs. Four things.
And that's all.
Now I make the graham cracker crust. And I put butter in that, or oil, and sugar in the graham crackers. And then while I'm mixing up the rest of the stuff, I let that bake for just a few minutes to kind of fuse it.
Affairs are at the
That's all,
I don't know. Oh, I know.
That's all there is to it.
Uh-huh.